Our scripture affirmation today comes from the fifth chapter of Luke, and we'll start the fourth verse. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke.
And they fed them into their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink.
When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.
For he was astonished, and all that were with him, and at the draught of the fishes which they had taken.
And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me.
And he left all, rose up, and followed him.
And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick.
I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Oh, Father, you've called us, and we're calling upon you. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. And we ask that you would make yourself so real to us this day. You're here and we are grateful and we praise you. Have your way, Lord. Glorify your name in this place this day. You are welcome. We are grateful and we are expecting you to do great and mighty things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. That song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. God has blessed us in such rich and amazing ways that even in the midst of our pain and our hurt and our sorrow and our frustration and our disappointment, even in the midst of all of that, we can declare that we are alive. We can declare that he is good. We can declare that there is none other like him. We can declare that he is and he rewards those who diligently seek him. We can declare that he loves us. And we just praise you, Father. We just praise you and we thank you for your goodness and grace. Open your word to us, Father, so that we might celebrate because he lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at the fifth chapter of Luke today. There's something that I think we need to get. There are are some ways that you can be really happy in the Lord, that you can enjoy the process of living this Christian life. There's a way to do that, and I think the it's really surprisingly simple. The first thing is that you need to be available. Are you truly available to God? Now, it may be a little bit more complex than it sounds, but are you truly available to God? But once you're available, are you obedient? You see, it's one thing to know that you are ready to do something, but it's a whole nother thing saying yes to that something. So today we want to look at this scripture where we see some people that are both available and obedient. And then think about just what it was they were able to do because they were available and obedient. In the fifth chapter of Luke, let me set the scene a little bit here. People were just excited about Jesus. This was a time where they just wanted to hear the word of God, and there were hundreds, maybe thousands, pressing in upon him. And so when he would go out in public and want to teach, it would be a very crowded affair. And you know how it is, sometimes when you're in the midst of a crowd, it's hard to be heard. It's hard for people to be able to grasp all that's being said, especially since people would press closer and closer and closer, you know. And it just, it got to be a crazy scene there. And so Jesus is walking by and he sees two ships that have been out fishing all night. And one of those ships was owned by Peter. And so Jesus says to Peter, let me borrow your ship, basically. In verse 4, it says, well, he says, let me borrow your ship. You know what? Start at verse 1. Let me just read it through. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. It's a really neat speaker's trick to be able to do that. You put yourself in a place where you'll be able to project. And he was on the water there, and so he was able to project. And people, a lot more people, were able to hear him clearly than would have been able to hear him if he had just stayed on land and allowed people to densely press around him. Verse 4 says, now when he had left speaking, it must have been an amazing thing to sit under the teaching of Jesus. Jesus, by all accounts, was a master teacher. He and the things that we have recorded of him are just amazing. Things that make you think, things that make you go, wow, things that are shocking. They're just really amazing things. And they had never heard a teacher like this, a teacher that taught with power. You know, when he taught, you had a sense of the very presence of God, duh. You know, so you know, it was just an amazing thing. So when he was finished doing that, he gets on the ship. He says, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. And let down your nets for a draught. Now, Jesus, by trade, was a carpenter. He wasn't a fisherman. Peter and these guys were fishermen. This is what they did to feed their families. And they probably knew this area pretty well. This was not new to them. They knew their stuff. And this teacher comes along and says, thanks for letting me use your boat after you've been up all night working really, really, really hard and haven't caught anything. Thank you for letting me use your boat. Now, if you want to catch something, push out a little farther into the deep and cast out your nets. Now, you know how we are. You know how we are. We said, yeah. All right. Okay. So Simon answering said unto him, I wish I could have heard his tone of voice. Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, this is on you, dude. We're tired. We're beat. We've had enough, but you taught pretty good. And since you taught in a way that I've never heard anybody teach before, even though it didn't have anything to do with fishing, we will do at your word. I will let down the net. What will you do at Jesus' word? Will you do whatever the word it is that has come to you? Will you do that now? If Jesus comes along and you hear his word and you are sure it is his word, will you immediately, in spite of the fact that it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you, do what he says? Will you let down your net if you feel that that is what Jesus is saying to you? Or you try to reason it out with him? Lord, I've been working at this thing for a very long time, and it's not happened, so it must not be the way. I said, let down the net. Lord, I've been trying to be this kind of person for a very long time, and I don't seem to achieve that. Let down the net. I don't seem to have all that it takes to be what you've called me to be. Let down the net. At your word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Can you imagine what that must have been like? They go out, they throw out these huge nets that they had just finished cleaning, by the way. They're tired, they've been up for a long time, but because this preacher says, let down the net. They go ahead and do it, and they get so many fish in that net that their nets are breaking apart. They have now made themselves a fortune. They might have been struggling to get by because they hadn't had a lot of great catches lately, but now they've got a catch that's going to help them, a catch that's going to change their lives, a catch that makes a difference. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. Help! We've got so many fish that we can't handle it. God's blessing us so richly that we can barely handle it. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. This blessing nearly sunk them. This is an amazing thing. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. He went to Jesus and he fell down at his knees. He said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You see, earlier in this, he said, "Master." He says, "Yeah, you're a good teacher. I appreciate your words. And they're pretty authoritative, and I'm glad about that." But now he's using not master. He's using Lord. He's saying something supernatural has happened, and I recognize it. You're special. And in the Bible, wherever you see someone who really recognizes that they are having a thing with God, where they are face to face with the King, they fall down and they worship. They fall down and they are afraid. They recognize that there's something different. Have you ever recognized that there's something different? Have you ever understood that there's something different? Have you ever been face to face with the Spirit of the living God and you have recognized yourself? Let me explain what I mean by that. Do you remember Isaiah in the 6th chapter of Isaiah? When he recognized that he was face to face with God, he says, "I'm a man of unclean lips." Now, this was a good guy. He was an official. He was a prophet. He was faithful. He was all of those good things. He recognized that he was a mess. Has there ever come a time when you've come face to face with God and recognized that you're a mess? Have you ever recognized how good other people may think you are? And in fact, how good you may be compared to other people, but when you are compared to a holy God, I'm undone. I'm not holy at all. Oh, God, I need you. I can't. I'm afraid. I'm shaken to my core. I'm not what I thought I was, and I don't even see any path to get there except by you. Oh, Lord, I'm undone. And Peter finds himself undone. He's saying, "Lord, I don't even know why you'd want to be around me. Depart from me, because I'm just a sinful man, oh, Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. When he saw that catch and recognized how improbable that catch was, how they had just fished the same waters, that they had just done all of this work. Where did all of these things even come from? And now they were provided for miraculously and wondrously. They were astonished. Peter wasn't the only one. Simon Peter was not the only one. In verse 10 it says, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not. From henceforth, from now on, thou shalt catch men." You are ready to be of use to God when you recognize who Jesus is. when you recognize how great he is, when you recognize his wondrous life, when you recognize it, and when you see him and recognize that he is God, and you compare yourself to him, you recognize that you are a sinful person in need of a Savior, that you are a sinful person that cannot keep yourself. You are a sinful person that cannot take yourself to heaven. You can't get it done. You are a person who is in need of this holy God. When you recognize this holy God and you recognize it's not you, you are in need of him, then you're ready to catch men. You're ready to tell others. You see, we are told that we are to, as we're going into all the world, make disciples. We are to be teaching people to be obedient to God. We are to be teaching people who he is and what he is. We're to be revealing him through the Spirit of God, showing people. But we aren't even ready to do that until we recognize who he is. Do you recognize who he is? Because then you'll be ready. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. A little later in this chapter, it goes to show you what happens when a person is ready, when he is available, he's willing to do what God said at God's word, at the word of Jesus, at the word of the Spirit of God. He is prepared and able to move when he realizes that he then has the ability to be obedient, and that would be to follow in discipleship, sharing the truth of who God is so that others could come to the place that he'd been brought to. Verse 27 says, "And after these things," by the way, I can't wait to next week because I want to talk about the things that this is after. But anyway, "after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi," a publican, a tax collector, a guy who was hated. This was, you know, this is the IRS on steroids. These are not real popular guys, and they made their living by making it hard for everybody else. "This publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me." Imagine yourself on your job one day, just working away, doing what you do every day, doing your thing. You'd heard about this Jesus. You'd heard some words. You'd heard some things. You thought about him and things, and it crossed your mind. And then one day he comes walking by and he says, follow me. Are you ready? See, have you lived with such an availability when you know that you know that you know that you know he's calling, that you immediately follow him? Are you ready to follow Jesus? Are you ready to follow Jesus? This Levi, which by the way is Matthew, is ready to follow Jesus. And he left all. Just got up and left it. He rose up and followed him. Now, you recognize how crazy that is, don't you? I mean, he sold out. He's saying, I have a job with the Romans. I am getting to be a rich man, and I'm going to walk away from it. No 2 weeks' notice here. This is. I'm following God. I don't even know how I'm going to feed myself after this. I'm following God. Because Jesus called me. What are you doing because Jesus called you? Do you think that Jesus called you to sit and soak? Do you think that Jesus called you to just sour, be a cistern where you take it in and you take it in and you take it in and take it in and you just get fat and lazy on the stuff of God until it sours in your mouth and the people look at you and nobody wants to drink what's been coming in you because it's been sitting around souring. It's not passing through touching people's lives. It's not passing through helping people. You just got this, I'm okay, I'm taking it in and taking it in and taking it in. You know, and we can be that way. It is easy for us to take it in and take it in and take it in and suck it up. So he left all, rose up, and followed him. What he does next is pretty interesting. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. Immediately he became evangelistic. He might not have known exactly what to tell them about this Jesus. So what he did was he brought them all together in his own house and fed them. See, you knew he was a Baptist. Brought them all together and fed them and so that they could meet Jesus for themselves. How are you using what you have so that people can meet Jesus for themselves? How are you living so that people can meet Jesus and grow in the things of God? How are you living that really shows that you are available and obedient? Are you available and are you obedient? So he makes this great feast. There was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But here is an interesting thing. When you begin to party for Jesus, when you begin to live a life of joy because you're hanging out with Jesus, when you begin to show how good he is, enjoying his presence, having a good time with God, other people are going to be around that want to mess up your party. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples. There's all kind of people that murmur against your party. There are people that really say they know the Lord, but they don't like how you're celebrating. There are people that know the jot and tittle of the law, but that law has never affected their hearts so that they live a life of love and of grace and of joy and of peace. They don't get it. They think they know a lot about it. You know, I over the years I found that I have a lot of things I know a lot about, but I just can't really do them. You ever have any things that you know a whole bunch about and can't do? I've had so many language classes and I hardly speak English. You know, it's just that you can know so much and never live it out. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Why are you hanging out with those people that don't know him? And Jesus jumps in the middle of this conversation. Says, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You ever wonder why you get invited to this party? Because I think you're sick. Yeah? If you are all here today, it's because I think you need a Savior. You need a physician. You are going to hell if you don't know him. You are messed up. You are hurting. You are imperfect. You are not God. And if you want to be with God, then you should be here. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's why I'm here today. I am here to let you know that, like me, you are in need of a Savior. If you do not know him, your life has been headed in the wrong direction. You must repent. You must change. And you can't change yourself. You must be made different. Listen, no political party, no human, no system is gonna do it. We can't fix this. We are in the hands of a sovereign God. And we need to let go and let God. We need to repent of our personal, individual sins. We need to repent of our corporate sins. We need to repent of the sins of our nation. Just think. Daniel repented. He was a righteous man. You don't read anything negative about him. Except he broke the guy's guitar. That clearly means that I need to stop. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we desperately, desperately, desperately need you. Give us a sense of your presence. Help us to turn from our sin. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And day by day by day, we need you to help us. We confess our sins because we know that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our ways are not your ways. Our thoughts are not your thoughts. But I thank God that we could have the mind of Christ even this day. Help us to be men and women that give ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service. And help us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds so we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Lord, help us not to think too highly of ourselves, but to think soberly. As each man has been given a gift that we should employ in serving you and others for your glory, so that Your glory is spread throughout the whole earth. Lord, help us to be both available, no matter what stuff we're entangled in this life, no matter where we work, no matter what we're married to, no matter what our living situation is, no matter, help us to be available. And as we are available, when we hear your word, let us be obedient. Let us live at your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let God speak to you today.